There is one massive chocolate cake in that room through there, but it's got Harry's name on it. So I don't know who made that, but I tell you what, we're tucking into that in a little while. So thank you ever so much for that. And for all of you that have brought some food, there's a ton of the stuff out there. Please stay and eat it up. Otherwise, I don't know what happened to it. I suppose people will give it to me. Just sensibly what happens. So don't eat too much, because otherwise I won't be fed. It is really good to see you. You know, I said to the folks a couple of weeks ago, in fact, it might have been at Tony's baptism. Where's Tony? It might have been at Tony's baptism on Easter Day, that I always say, I don't know why really I say it, I think it's say it because it's biblical, but it was always the way my pastor, when I was growing up, what he always used to say, a baptismal service. He would say, and actually you've heard it from some of the guys who've been giving testimony this evening, he would say, here's water, what's stopping you from being baptized? And I always say that at the end. And I think I said at the time, the big white elephant in the room, of course, is what's stopping you from being baptized? It's because I haven't got a change of clothes. I wonder sometimes how much that is the plan. So my plan this week had been to go down to find a Primark somewhere and just to buy some joggers and some t-shirts and a couple of towels, so that wasn't an excuse. But then I ran out of time, so I haven't had time to get a change of clothes, as I said I was going to. But I do want to put that seed in your mind. If you're a Christian, just as some of these young people have said, if you are a Christian and you haven't been baptized, what's stopping you from being baptized? And I don't think, even tonight, I don't think that the fact you haven't got a change of clothes is an excuse. We'll work that one out. Literally, we live over the road. We'll leg it home and get you some dry clothes. So I'm just going to put that there, because I am going to ask that question. You know, one of the people who I've had in my mind over the last few baptisms that we've had over the last year or so has been Maggie. I've been thinking to myself, I wonder if Maggie's going to get, you know, actually, I'll do it. And then last Sunday evening, we were just talking after the service, and so I think she'd been talking to Simon, and Simon came up with Maggie, and Maggie said, look, I want to get baptized. And I said, right, we'll do that next week. What, next week? next week. Maggie was, yeah, I just asked her, I was standing over there where David is at the moment, and I said, look, you can get baptized. Just tell me something, Maggie. Are you trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I have never seen anyone just look so relieved in their lives to say, yes, I am. The glow, the warmth, the relief upon her face when she said, yes, I am. And there was just simply no reason to say no. And we've heard this wonderful poem. Maggie's been through an awful lot in recent months and years, and it was so good to hear that poem read on her behalf. And I just wanted to let you know that she knows, and we're going to ask her that question again shortly in the water anyway, so you'll hear her give testimony to that. Can we have my PowerPoint up? This is what crashed the system this morning, is PowerPoint, so it might all go badly wrong again. Maybe you're hoping it will go badly wrong, because then if I don't have a PowerPoint, then I'm, you know, I might not talk so long. That's all Beth's been saying to me all week, is how long are you going to be talking for? Starts now, not from the beginning. Not long, because there is that big chocolate cake with Harry's name on it. I don't know how many Facebook users we've got in the house today. I do understand that Facebook isn't the social media platform of choice anymore amongst the youth. Oh, I've lost the clicker, Caroline. I'm going to have to shout at you when it's time to click. I know that it's not the social media platform of choice anymore amongst the youth. Beth tells me Instagram and all these things, Snapchat. But I'm sure that most of you are at least familiar with the thing. And so you will know that Facebook users keep themselves active online on Facebook by updating their status frequently. Click. They update their status. And updating your status is a way, if you're not familiar with Facebook, it's a way of allowing you to discuss your thoughts, your whereabouts, or share important information with other Facebook users, Facebook friends. Now I'm going to read you a psalm, and I want you to see in the psalm that I'm going to read to you that there are two types of people with a different type of status. Now they didn't have Facebook 3,500 years ago when this psalm was written, but if they had, I can see these two types of people maybe updating their Facebook status. So it's Psalm 1. When Jill told me that the verses she'd chosen for Maggie were Psalm 1, 1 and 2, I thought, you know what, God, you just have a way of confirming things in just so wonderfully. And I'm going to just speak for a little while from Psalm 1. So if you've got a Bible, turn to Psalm 1. If you haven't, I'm going to read it out loud so you'll be able to hear, you'll be able to follow it, follow along. But Psalm 1, it's a short psalm. It says this, and I want you to see if you can see the two types of status of the two types of people we meet in this psalm. So here we go. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Well, did you notice the two statuses there? The first status is that of a group of people who are blessed. They might put on Facebook, I am blessed. Verse 1, blessed is the man, or blessed is the lady, the person. Blessed is the man. The second status are wicked people. Did you see that? Therefore, verse 5, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment. There are blessed people, and there are people who have the status of wicked. I wonder what your status would be. Would you be wicked or would you be blessed? Now, before I go on, we need to reclaim the words wicked and blessed, because I understand that young people have taken a word like wicked, and it doesn't mean wicked anymore. When I was a lad, wicked meant wicked or evil or bad. Now wicked means the opposite. The word's been inverted. It means something that's really cool or excellent or quite exciting. So if Theo comes out of the cinema, he's just seen a film, I might say, Theo, how was the film? And he'd say, Dad, it was wicked. It doesn't mean it was evil and just depraved in nature. He means it was really, really good. So we need to reclaim this word. And then what about the word blessed? Again, it always used to be used, this word bless or blessed, it always used to be used in society to mean someone who was fortunate enough to have happiness, to be blessed with happiness or good things. So you might say, we're blessed with a lovely family, or they've been blessed with a great house. No, not anymore. Apparently, if you walk through town, right, and you come across a bunch of teenage girls, okay, you will hear them use the word bless in a different way. So you imagine the aforementioned group of teenage girls are walking along the road and they come across somebody who's walking a puppy. The girls will stop and gaze adoringly at the puppy for a little while, look at each other gooey-eyed and go, oh, bless! Have I got that right there? She's going to go, Dad, behave. They will go, oh, bless means cute or gorgeous. We're going to reclaim that word as well. We're going to reclaim wicked and bless or blessed biblically tonight. We're going to give these words their true meaning back. So first of all, what about this idea of being blessed? We see that in verse 1, as I say. Blessed is the man, the Bible says. Here's what it means biblically. To be blessed in Bible terms means to live in and experience true happiness, real hope, and genuine joy. That's what the Bible says of a blessed person, somebody who lives in and knows, experiences true happiness, hope, and joy, even when the going gets tough, even though when life is difficult. And according to the Bible, blessed people are those people who follow Jesus. The other word, wicked, well, in the Bible, it means just that. We don't use wicked very much, other than to say that something's really, really exciting and cool. We don't tend to say things are wicked, because wicked means evil. And actually, if I was to walk up to a bunch of people and say, yo, you're wicked in the evil sense, I'd probably get a slap. It's not a very user-friendly word in these liberal days that we live in. But in the Bible, wicked means just that. It means wicked or evil. Now, that doesn't mean that the Bible thinks people are as evil as they possibly can be, you know, completely and utterly depraved with no hope. But it simply means that wicked people or evil people, which is what I am by nature, and so are you according to the Bible, it means that we prefer to go our own way, down our own path, instead of God's way. That's what sin means. That's that other Bible word, isn't it? It's what sin means. It's just used to describe how we desire to be God of our own lives rather than letting be God the Lord of our lives. So with that in mind, what would your status be? What's your status? What you five baptism candidates are saying today is that you are blessed. You are blessed. And verse 6 of our psalm, it tells us why. Verse 6 says this, the first half, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous," the way of those who are blessed. You're saying you are blessed. What you five are saying today is that the status of being blessed is the better status. It's the better way. In other words, it's the better journey or path to be on. Your destiny as blessed is better than the destiny of those who are wicked. You five, your status actually is this. I am blessed by God in Christ with all spiritual blessings. You cannot get more blessed or better blessed than that, you five, than all of us. But you see, again, you five who are getting baptized, and again, a reminder to all of us, if you just see your status as being, if you like, a ticket to heaven, you know, sort of like, you know, I've become a Christian, I go to church, and hey, I even got baptized today, so God loves me, I'm going to heaven, you've completely missed out on the way of the blessed. You need to live out your status. That's why Facebook is so futile, really, because it says there's a status, this is how I feel, but it doesn't go beyond that. As Christians, we want to go along a way. You've grasped your status, but you've missed the way. So what is the way out of your status of blessed? What is the way? Which way will you go? Will you go down the way of the status of those who are wicked, or down the way of the status of those who are blessed? These five are going down the path of the blessed. I want to just share very briefly three things from this psalm about the way of the blessed to encourage Beth and Maggie and Olivia and Harry and Isaac. Three things. First one up on the screen, Caroline. The writer of the psalm puts blessing in a negative way by contrasting the way of those whose status is blessed with the way of those whose status is wicked. So verse 1, he puts it negatively. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. You five who are getting baptized, in your status of blessed, what you're saying is, as we get baptized today, is that you've come to realize there's a better way than the way you were previously going. I love the way the Message Bible, the Message is a paraphrase of the scriptures. I love the way the Message puts Psalm 1, verse 1. It says it this way. Listen to this. How well God must like you. You don't hang out in sin saloon. You don't slink along dead end roads. You don't go to Smart Mouth College. Incidentally, did you notice that the wicked have a way too? The other half of verse 6 says, the way of the wicked will perish. So when you bear that in mind, the way of the wicked will perish. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So what we're seeing this afternoon is a bunch of people who are saying there's a better way than the way of the wicked, and that way is God's way. And so this status of being blessed is a journey, it's a destiny. And rather than being drawn towards Sin Saloon and Dead End Road and Smart Mouth College, you find instead that you're drawn somewhere strange. You're drawn to the Bible. The Bible becomes better, the Bible becomes more attractive. And we find God's Word in the Bible. And as we are drawn there, the Bible way becomes
delightful. That's what it says in verse 2. The blessed man's delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the Bible. The blessed man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So as you begin to read the Bible, to chew on it, you'll find out what real happiness is all about. And actually why walking with the Lord in his way is the better way. And it's by delighting in God's word that we're able to walk in God's way. Second point up on the screen, I want you to notice, you five, that the way of the blessed and the way of the wicked, well, they will meet. Normal life goes on. Just because you're getting baptized tonight, normal life carries on. You're going to go to school tomorrow. You're going to go to work tomorrow. You're going to mix with your friends tomorrow. You're going to mix with your colleagues tomorrow. It's not like you're going to be baptized and then we're getting a helicopter to come and land in our garden, that you girls, you can be airlifted off to some nunnery in the middle of nowhere, and you boys get airlifted off to some monastery in the middle of nowhere so that you don't have to mix with anyone ever again, because somehow you don't want to be tainted by the other path. No, normal life goes on. And so this psalm carries an implied warning for you tonight. And it's this: people, you know, even your friends, and maybe even family members, will look on Facebook or our imaginary Facebook, and they will see that your status has changed to "I am blessed." And they'll think you're barking mad. They'll think you're nuts, and they'll wonder what on earth is going on. They'll say to you, "You don't really believe that, do you? That's just plain weird." And the temptation will be for you to dwell on the things that those people say. You know what it's like when a friend or a loved one says something and it wounds us, doesn't it? It hurts us. We tend to chew on it. We might even say that we meditate on it. It just goes over and over and over and over and over in our mind when somebody's been unkind to us. This psalm says, you know when that happens? When your paths cross with those who aren't Christians, let the word of God play on your mind instead. And meditate on that. Trust Jesus. Trust God and not the ones that are being unkind to you. Listen to his voice, not their voices. When people let you down, which they will, know that God and his promises to you never fail. The difference between the way of the blessed and the way of the wicked is shown in verses 3 and 4. The blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season and its leaf doesn't wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. And that leads to this third and final point that I want to encourage you with today, and it all has to do with the stability of the blessed and the instability of the wicked. The picture in verse 3 is of a tree. It's a picture of a tree that has been struggling to grow, struggling to thrive, struggling to exist, struggling to have any point to its existence. And it's been struggling because it's grown in a dry, unfertile, arid place. There is nothing good in that place for it. There's nothing nutritious. There's nothing to refresh it. But the picture is that someone's come along and seen this straggly, pathetic weed of a tree and has taken pity on it. They've carefully dug it up, taking care to protect the roots. And they've taken this tree, this weedy tree, and they've transferred this straggly, weedy plant to a rich, nutritious, fertile field and planted it there. It's been planted by a stream of good, clean water where the roots can push out towards and drink and have a constant supply of water. And the one who's then replanted the tree's clearly taken care of it. They've pruned its branches. They've kept the pests and the diseases away. And look at the results for the tree. It yields its fruit in season. Its leaf doesn't wither. All that he does, he prospers. You know, this tree is a picture of the one whose status is blessed. They are the tree. Our way was leading us nowhere other than a downward spiral. We had no hope. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you feel like that tree that is struggling to survive because you find yourself in the way that you're going on in a dry and arid and unfertile place.
There's nothing in that place for you. And you perhaps have come to wonder, what use am I? What good am I to anybody? What hope do I have? And you feel stuck in that way. You feel there's no escape and no way out. I want to encourage you this morning, I want to encourage you this afternoon, just as these five have been encouraged, to see Jesus as the one who's come to lift you up and take us out of that no hope way. You hear, and he's replanted us in his way, where he delights to feed us and water us and make us into the people we were destined by him to be. And now, rooted in Christ, we get to thrive. Not only are we blessed, but all that we do prospers, and we can bless others by being leafy and healthy and fruitful. Now comes a contrast with the ungodly, the wicked. They hear that opportunity, maybe even this afternoon, to have their status changed by Jesus to blessed. To get out of the way of the ungodly and onto the way of the blessed. And you hear this maybe this afternoon, that Jesus can do that for you. You don't have to do anything. He will change your status as you put your trust in him. But you refuse it. For whatever reason, you say, no, I'll stay in the old way. And rather than yielding fruit and being healthy and leafy green, prospering all the way, you shrivel up and you become like chaff, that worthless dust that comes out the back of the combine harvester on a hot day, and you just get blown away. Isaac, Beth, Harry, Livy, Maggie, I want to tell you this evening that the more you delight in God and his word, the more you let your roots flourish by sucking up that fresh cooling water from that stream, the more that the way of blessed will open up to you. The bolder you'll become, the more confident you will be in the very midst of suffering and trial. So what's your status? Would you be able to say that your status is blessed, or would you have to admit your status is ungodly or even wicked? Perhaps today you're carrying around with you a load of guilt and shame. Maybe you can't let go of past hurts and disappointment. Maybe on your way there's anger and fear. Why would you want to stay in that way? Why would you continue going that way when there's something so much better being offered you this evening? The last line of the psalm is so key. It says this: the way of the wicked will perish. To stay on that way, the way some of you I reckon are on, is dangerous. Because, well, here's another Bible word, our sin is dangerous. But the Bible tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To be replanted in God's way. To have life to the full. He can do that for you today, you know, just as he has for these five who've given their testimony. Be blessed by God in Christ as his spirit comes and dwells in you and changes even your life forever. We're going to stand and sing. As we stand and sing, I'm going to ask all those who are going to get baptized and those who are helping with the baptism to come up and to get ready here. Isaac, are you coming up as well? So we'll stand and sing together, and then we'll get baptizing some of these folks.